Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 2. We read the first 20 verses. Our text is found in verses 13 and 14. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go in even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. The text that we consider this morning is found in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, we gather together this morning to celebrate the birth of our Savior. And there are few events in all of history that come close to the significance of this event, the birth of Jesus Christ. The culmination of God the Son taking upon Himself human flesh and coming into this world out of the womb. Now it's true that the Bible does not tell us exactly when Jesus was born. Probably it was not December 25. And nor is this day holy as the Lord's Day is holy, but it is good for us to remember the birth of our Savior. And so we gather today to do that. If nothing else, the example of the angels on that day ought to instruct us concerning what we ought to say in our hearts when we think of the birth of Jesus Christ. Glory to God in the highest. At exactly the right time in history, God arranged it so that Mary and Joseph would travel to Bethlehem. God had arranged it that Caesar Augustus would make a decree at just this time requiring that everyone should go to their own native city in order to register for the taxation that Caesar Augustus had decreed. So Joseph and Mary, in God's providence, were forced, you could say, to go to Bethlehem. Of course, God had prophesied years before that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. And just as God had planned it, Jesus was born there, not in a plush palace, but born in a lowly stable. He was not laid in a comfortable bed made of feathers or whatever comfortable beds were made out of, but he was laid in a feeding trough. And he was not dressed in purple, but he was wrapped in swaddling cloths. And nor was his birth celebrated by the high and mighty of that day. But it was celebrated by the lowly shepherds who heard the glad tidings of the angel. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. But such glorious news demanded that more than one angel proclaim the news. So as soon as this angel gave this news to the shepherds, an entire army of angels joined that angel. And then we read the text, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Never before in history were men so privileged to witness such a glorious display of the heavenly hosts praising God. Let's consider the text then under that theme, the heavenly host praising God. In the first place, let's talk about the heavenly host. Secondly, the glory to God that they gave. And lastly, the peace toward men that they announced as well. The heavenly host praising God. The heavenly host, glory to God and peace toward men. Although we read of many different circumstances in the Old Testament where angels came to God's people and announced tidings, as well as in the New Testament, none of those references, I believe, comes close to these joyful strains that the angels shouted on this day. We have hundreds of references that speak of the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ who appeared to God's people to lead them and guide them. And on many other occasions, we read of more than one angel. Two angels came to warn Lot to get out of Sodom. Jacob, stopping at Bethel before he went to Haran, saw angels ascending and descending a ladder that went up into heaven. Elisha, when he was surrounded by the armies of Syria, prayed that God would open the servant's eyes, and when the servant's eyes were opened, there was a host of God surrounding and protecting them. One other great event that we read of in which the angels shouted for joy was the creation of the world. Job chapter 38, verse 4. God asks Job, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest?" And then he goes on in verse 7 and tells of that time when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, speaking of the angels. Such a glorious display of God's power and His wisdom required that the angels sing for joy. Well, to be sure, God's creative acts bringing the universe into being were truly marvelous. But the infinite God, taking upon Himself human flesh, is every bit, if not more, wonderful than God creating the heavens and the earth. And maybe we could debate that. But Jesus' birth was a glorious event. And that's why God sent a multitude of angels to glorify Him on this occasion, to confirm the glorious message that the angel had just given to the shepherds, now to shout it out loud with a multitude of the heavenly host. A huge, and that word host refers to an army, a huge army of angels shouting a glorious message. When you think of an army too, think of the fact that there has been a battle. There has been a war waged against God, and God would send this army to announce the victory. Jehovah sent His Word, Jesus Christ, into the world. Listen to what Hebrews 1 verse 6 says. "And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, and let all the angels of God worship Him." Such a glorious mediator come in human flesh. The text tells us what they did when they did not only appear in their glory, but they praised God. They were praising God. They voiced their approval of God's mighty works that He had done of old. But now, as He was accomplishing His promises at this very time in sending His only begotten Son. Their words were simple and yet profound. They said, "Glory to God And that's always the message of the holy angels. They don't say, glory be to men. They say, glory to God. That was how the heavenly host responded to the message delivered by the angel. When the angel says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, just as the angel spoke the last syllable of that glorious message, instantly the army of angels appeared and proclaimed, glory to God. God's glory, you understand, refers to the brightness of His perfections, as if those perfections were radiating from His being. His brightness radiates out from Him. His perfections are evident. God's glory certainly is evident in the creation, but how much more is that glory evident in the salvation that God provides for His people? Think about God's glory as compared to man's lack of glory. Think about God's perfections. His perfection of wisdom in providing Jesus Christ as our Savior. There's no human wisdom that could even conceive of such a salvation. No human would ever even think of providing salvation in that way. In fact, if it were up to us to conceive of a way of salvation, we would be hopelessly stuck trying to figure out a way to earn our salvation with God. But that's what all false religions do. Trying to find a way to earn a place in heaven. But God's glorious wisdom shines forth in the birth of Jesus Christ, providing Him as our Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. No human love could approach the love that God displays in sending forth His only begotten Son into the world. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's perfection of His mercy and His birth of Jesus Christ. Think about God's faithfulness. These perfections were displayed as God, who had promised thousands of years be the garden to send the seed of the woman, who promised throughout the ages that He would send the Savior. God's faithfulness and truth were brightly displayed on that first Christmas morning when Jesus was born. Glory to God. And think about God's power displayed on that day. Men in themselves, we are powerless to accomplish our salvation, but God's power shines forth on that day. Though Satan would do everything in his power to prevent the coming of Jesus Christ, yet God sovereignly arranged it that He would be born and that nothing would stop Him in the accomplishing of our salvation. Just to think of all the things that had to happen for Jesus to be born in Bethlehem. God arranged it all. That shows His sovereign authority and power to save His people. Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5, we read, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." And even God's justice was displayed on this day, because in His justice, God will never overlook sin. And even in His birth, Jesus, born in that stable, laid in a feeding trough, already in His birth, He began to experience the curse of sin that was due to us. Christ's coming was not man's doing. It was God's doing. And so the angels shouted out loudly, "To God be the glory. Glory to God in the highest." The angels were praising God for His great salvation that He had provided. The God who dwells in the highest heaven, who has provided such a glorious salvation, deserves the highest honor. And that's why the angel said, "Glory to God in the highest." He deserves the highest glory because He is our salvation. And that's what the people acknowledged as Jesus later rode triumphantly into Jerusalem. He is the God of our salvation. Listen to the words of Mark 11, verse 10. As Jesus was riding into Jerusalem, they said, "Blessed be the kingdom of our father David, that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Hosanna in the highest. Very similar to what the angel shouted. Glory to God in the highest. Everything about Jesus' birth points to God's glorious provision of salvation to His people. And that's why the angels go on, after they say, "Glory to God in the highest," they go on to say, "And on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Literally, upon earth peace, and then in men goodwill, or among men goodwill. Although the angels speak about peace on earth, upon the earth, they are not talking about peace to every man, woman, and child. Even as when we sing "Joy to the World," we don't mean joy to the wicked of the world, for the simple reason that they have nothing to rejoice about. There is no joy for the wicked because they have no peace. That's what Isaiah 57 proclaims. Isaiah 57, verse 20. "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Christmas is not a time of true joy for the wicked. Indeed, for many, it is often a time of turmoil. But for God's people, it is. There is peace. They shall have peace. Psalm 125, verse 5, "As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. Well, what kind of peace were the angels talking about? The peace that would come through the humiliation of Jesus Christ, of that little child already beginning to experience that humiliation as he was laid in that manger. The peace that the angels were talking about is the peace that would mean the end of the war of rebellion that had been carried on against God. The angels were talking about the peace, of course, that peace that Jesus Christ would bring, that He would accomplish when He won the victory over sin and death upon the cross. Peace with God. That's what they were talking about. Peace with God, which would come through the atonement, through the sacrifice of this little child born in Bethlehem. The peace that Jesus would bring is God's covenant. God's covenant of peace established with His people. Peace is not just the absence of war, but you could say peace is the opposite of war. It is the opposite of God's wrath being against us. Peace with God is fellowship and friendship. You could say peace is God with us, as opposed to being against us. Matthew 1 verse 23 tells of this little child. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's talking about the covenant. That's the peace that the angels were announcing. And together with that peace, they also proclaimed goodwill. You'll notice the parallel nature of those two statements. Upon earth, peace. Among men, goodwill. It's not a goodwill that is common to all men, just as the peace is not given to all men. But that goodwill is among men. That goodwill will be shown in the sphere of mankind. Well, this goodwill, of course, is the goodwill, the good pleasure that God has towards His people. We read of that good pleasure in many, many different places of Scripture. Psalm 51, verse 18 is one example, where the psalmist says, "Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem." God's good pleasure is to give the highest good to His people. That's what the goodwill the angels were talking about. It is goodwill, and that's why our translators translated it this way, goodwill toward men, because it's speaking of God's goodwill towards His people. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, goodwill toward men. God has provided salvation through this little child that was born in order to die. Peace and goodwill come through Him. Peace and goodwill come only through Him. And now the question that we can ask ourselves on this Christmas morning is, how shall we respond to that glorious message? Will we say, as the angel said, "Glory to God in the highest"? Do we rejoice at the birth of our King and the salvation that He brings to us? Do we rejoice at the peace and goodwill that is ours through Jesus Christ? Notice what the shepherds did when they heard the news. They could not remain where they were. Luke chapter 2, verse 15, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven," probably they had to catch their breath, "as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.' And they came with haste." They didn't take their time. They came with haste. So glorious was this occasion. "And found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." No doubt they worshipped Him. They worshipped Him. This little baby. "And when they had seen it," we read, "they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." They didn't just keep the news to themselves. They didn't just say to themselves, "We have seen a wonderful thing." They made known all around them, to whoever they saw, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. "And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." That should be our response, to wonder, to stand in awe that God sent His only begotten Son into the world for us. May it be that we would remember God's glorious gift of salvation today. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou hast been pleased to send Thine only begotten Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that He might redeem us, we who were under the law's curse. May we remember that today. May we remember such a glorious provision in Jesus Christ, and may we, by faith, embrace Jesus Christ as our only Savior. Go with us now, we pray, the rest of the day. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.